My text today will be found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I'm going to just deal with one verse. Chapter 11, the book of Hebrews, verse number 4. As you well know, this is Memorial Day weekend. I would like to express to you today what the purpose of Memorial Day is. I believe we have fouled it up tremendously. But let's read here, chapter 11. Notice verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. I want you to notice those last few words there, where it says, by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. It, what is it? His faith. And what did it do? It spoke to generations afterwards. It was February 1966. I had been having God deal with my soul, and I didn't know. And so I was looking at religious things. I was attending the university in Omaha. And I decided to take a class. Many of you have heard this story over and over. Never get tired of telling your story. And we were studying Martin Luther, and I read some of his works. And the work that I remember reading was called Law and Grace. It was no longer than perhaps what you call a chapter in a book, if it was even that long. And in that particular book, or that particular, what they call it, a treatise, he spoke about the purpose of the law and the purpose of grace. And in his writings, he basically said, the law of God is to show and to demonstrate to us that we are sinners because we cannot keep it. All we have to do is look at the Ten Commands that God gave us in the book of Exodus, rehearse them again in Deuteronomy, and we find that we are guilty. Matter of fact, if we get honest and understand what those verses are saying, we're guilty of all ten of those. Many times people say, well, I never killed anybody. According to Jesus, we have. For we've looked on our brothers with hatred in our hearts, and God said that's the same thing. By the way, that's where murder starts at. And so we find that, or I found that one who was dead for many hundreds of years spoke to my heart. And in that message, I understood also the grace of God. And that grace of God is that which God comes and pays the price of my sin for me. I'd gone to church most of my life. I'd heard the gospel being preached. I sat in Sunday school classes. But quite frankly, I was more interested in looking at the girls, messing around with the guys, than I was what was being said. And I didn't catch it. But on that day, I caught the message from one who had been dead, and yet he spoke to my heart. On this day, perhaps we should say tomorrow, we have set aside a time to be for us to remember, especially to remember those who have died for us to maintain or to get our freedoms. Veterans Day is really a day to remember those who are living for their willingness to defend us and yea, to even join the thousands who have died. Over the years, Memorial Day has come to include not just our soldier boys, but those who have passed on before us. And I believe to remember their contribution to our lives. The Bible says in Romans 14:7, for some of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We all have something to contribute. And on that day, we ought to stop and reflect. Sadly, it's become just another holiday for revelry rather than for deep respect. It's become a time whereby we go out and party rather than praising God for those that He has given us in our lives. There are a couple of things that influence men, perhaps more than anything else, and that is the books we read and the people we meet. I've never been an avid reader, though I must read much. But it's interesting how books shape our lives, because really books are what? The words that men have spoken that have been written down. And so it's the lives of other individuals that really contribute to who we are. Life is not about the accumulation of toys, but in touching other lives. We're social creatures. The Lord called us sheep. Sheep are herding animals. By the way, that's not necessarily a compliment when God called us that, because I remember being on the farm and sheep were dirty and smelly and stupid. But we're social creatures. I didn't say that you're dirty, you're smelly, and you're stupid. But God did like us unto creatures like that. And from God's standpoint, that's probably true. I believe in our day and age, we have found social media has been popularized. And I believe mainly because of this great need of socialization, this great need of touching other lives and being touched. And perhaps the real draw to that is we fear rejection one-on-one, but somehow through a machine, we're able to step out of that shell. I thank God on this day that I can have the comfort of God for the holes that have been left in my life by the passing of my parents, all of my brothers, my son, and, of course, many, many dearly beloved ones. There's not a family here that has not been touched with grief of the loss. Some in days gone by, some very recently. Our hearts somehow melt together and blend together as we consider that and memorialize and remember their influence in our lives. I'm thankful for those who contributed to my coming to faith in Christ. I'm thankful for those who have contributed to my living by faith for Him. I had the privilege to know a man who became, at that time, my best friend. That was Brother Gene Kimmel. Some of you in this room know him, some of you do not. Gene Kimmel had a big heart. He had to have a big heart because he had a big body. And as he traveled around the country, one of the things he did was start deaf ministries. Well over 300 of them established across the United States. But also he got very concerned about missions. And he got into the Word of God and learned a faith promise, and he came and introduced that to our church and preached many, many conferences. And years later, he became a member of our church, and one of the things I discovered about Gene Kimmel was what he preached about faith, he practiced in life. I saw that take place through the years and was simply amazed by how God had worked in his life. Many times he would say, well, you know, I need this for the ministry, and so I just charge it to MasterCard and let the master pay for it. And he'd joke about it, but he was dead serious. And God worked and blessed. And I'm thankful for that kind of faith that has been brought in my life. I'm thankful for a wife that just, when it comes to finances, just believe God for it. I used to worry about it and fret and stew. But I said, here, you take care of it, and I'm not going to think about it anymore. But don't worry. I'm so thankful for the many who have done that in my life. I'm thankful for those who have, like the Lord God, brought comfort to my life. In 2 Corinthians, it says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, and we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort whereby we ourselves are comforted of God. I imagine you figured out the main word there is comfort. And I believe that we understand from that that God says He brings comfort through individuals. We're social individuals. We're beings that need each other. And so we're very thankful for those. And we set in remembrance of the many that God has used to bring comfort to our life. Comfort to our lives when we've been in sorrow. Comfort to our lives when we've been in doubt. Comfort in our lives when we've gone through disappointments and discouragements. We look at our text today about this man, by faith Abel. And it says, by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. It reminds us all, I believe, that one day we would hope to be remembered affectionately. We would hope that somehow, that when our time comes, that those who look back on a day such as this would remember us as a godly individual. So with those thoughts in mind, I ask one really big question. What will be our legacy? What will we be remembered by? Will we be remembered for our righteous actions? We notice in the text that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel is known because of his blood sacrifice. He understood a principle that took place really the day that Adam and Eve sinned. As God took an animal, which I believe was a lamb, and slew that and took the skins and placed it upon their nakedness. And we find that from that time to this, there must be bloodshed for our sins. In fact, Romans puts it this way, for the wages of sin is death. When your blood is shed, you're going to die. They go hand in hand. And so as we find here, Abel understood this, and he gave that which was more excellent. Cain brought that. He brought that which was of his fields. He brought a grain offering. He brought the fruits of the land. But they do not signify and look forward to what Jesus did for us upon the cross of Calvary. For as he hung there upon that cross, he bled and died for you and for me. And God made it known that he was happy with Abel. He was pleased with Abel. It says, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his goods. What will people say about us? But more importantly, what will God, who knows all about us, have to say of us? If God was to deliver your eulogy right now, what would it be? What would he be saying? What have you had that shows forth the marvelous grace of God? I ask another question in regards to that. Will our voices still be heard after we are gone? Because it says there in that last phrase, by it he being dead yet speaketh. Will our lives have been such that our words will echo in the hearts of those we've left behind? How many of in this room, we could look back and we could say, boy, my mother said this to me, and she said it to me, and now I find myself saying it to my kids or my grandkids. I've heard that many times. My son who led the singing, he says, he used to say, do you want a whipping? And he always thought within himself, no, I don't want a whipping. Why would you ask such a question? But he relented the other day and told me he did the same thing to his children. We leave behind us some things. What will they remember? I think back to my mother and the hard work she had. We were farmers when I was a little boy. My dad farmed until he was 50 years of age. And we left the farm, but the farm never left Dad. And in the last 3 years, I was just a little boy, 5, 6, 7 years of age. My dad and mom, they farmed a pretty good-sized place down near Mineola, Iowa. He worked for another man, and he did his labor relentlessly. But I also remember, perhaps even more so, because I was nearer to her, I wasn't out in the fields that much with Dad, but Mom's hard work. I remember that she put in somewhere between a quarter and a half acre of garden every year. Come August and September, she was busy canning. We had a cave. We've kept all that stuff in. There'd be potatoes dug and put in sacks and taken down there. Things would be canned. I remember that almost every meal, we didn't have bought bread, but we had baked bread fresh from the oven. But I also remember this. She worked a full-time job as a clerk in Kresge's. How did she do all that? She was a hard worker, and she had a work ethic. And when I look back at that, I think to myself, is there something that rings in my ears? It's really that ethic of work that she had. And I hope instilled in me in some respect. Yesterday, we had a funeral. And Adam Blake went into eternity. One of the things that blesses my heart from that is my son who passed actually led Adam to Christ in VBS many years ago. But before the service began, many of you know Bill Cutler. He was there and he walked up to me and we began to talk. And I told him, I says, I really have always appreciated what you folks do because you're so respectful. And I told him the story about how his daddy, when I was going to the car, almost ran to get the door to open it. And I remember saying to his dad, who was also Bill, you are my senior. I should be opening the door for you. And Bill Sr. said, uh-uh. And he looked at me very sternly and he said, I got kind of dressed down that day. He said, my daddy taught me to have respect for the man of God. And I will open the door for you. I don't care what your age is. And I told his son that, who was almost my age. And he said, I remember a story. He said, I was 18 years of age. And in those days, there was three funeral homes right together. And right next to theirs was the Myers funeral home, and they were both having funerals at the same time. He said it was the middle of July, and he said the rule my dad had was you wore a long-sleeve white shirt, a tie, and a coat. It didn't matter where you was at or what you were doing, you did that. And he says, I was out there parking cars. He says, I was sweating terribly. And he says, I looked over, and he says, those guys over there, they were in their short sleeves. So he says, I went to my car, took off my jacket, and laid in the front seat of my car and went back to directing cars. And he said, my dad walked out. And he said, son, where's your coat? And he says, in the car. It's just too hot today. And his dad says, go get your coat. And he said, but Dad, look at those guys over there. And Bill Sr. said, go get your coat and go over there and see if they'll hire you. What does he remember? How his daddy taught him to be respectful. Not only in the words, but in the way they dressed and the way they behaved. What's the voice that will be left behind when you're gone? What will your kids see in you? Will they see one who is faithful? Or will they see one who many things were more important than God and His church? Many things more important than fellowship with God's believers? We find that so true today. And how we need to remember, there's a legacy we're building. It's done day after day. What are they seeing? What are they seeing? What is our legacy? The Bible says, by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. I look back and I remember when you go over after a bit to the fellowship hall, you walk into the lobby, and there's a door directly across to my office, and right to the side, most of you know what I'm speaking of, is a wall of memorial to those who have been people in this church who are now in heaven. We don't have all. There's a plaque there with many names on it, but we have some of the pictures that have been placed there. And I stop and think, you know, when mine's there, what will people think? When yours is there, what will people think? By it he being dead yet speaketh. What a wonderful opportunity we have. We have a gospel to take to a dying world. Amen. I had a man who had been dead 50 years write something that I was able to, 500 years I should say, that I was able to read and get saved. I know most of us here are not writers, but our lives do say a whole lot. My daddy's been dead for 37 years, but I still remember him and the things he did. I can still remember the day that I had a cuss word and he caught me, never said a word, just looked at me. I think it cured me. I remember the kindness that he showed to my children as he'd come by the house almost daily. He had retired and he was delivered drugs. I used to call him a drug pusher. And he made home deliveries and he'd stop by. He had a little plastic purse he kept coins in, one of those things you squeeze and the coins are there. And every day he'd come in, I think he'd fill it every day. And my kids would grab that and I think they could take everything but the quarters. They'd clean him out day after day. What I remember about him, being a giving man. I remember I was having great trouble in my own soul, just fearful of so many things. And my doctor told my mother that he needs something to do with you all. And my dad, who had been a farmer, never took time to go fishing or hunting, decided to start fishing and took me along with him. Saturday after Saturday, we get up on 4 o'clock in the morning, hit up to the Old Boyer River, throw our lines in and catch as many carp as we could. And believe it or not, Mom knew how to cook those things so there wasn't any bones in them. And we would fish. He did that for me. What is it we're leaving behind? Well, the last moments I remember with my dad, it was his birthday. I'd made arrangements with the family that was in our church to take him to their place. He'd been talking about horses a lot. He'd trained a lot of horses, mostly work horses. And I thought it'd be great to take him up, let him ride. So I made arrangements. We went up there. And they had this old mare, gentle, good horse. And then they had this stallion. Good horse, but he wasn't gentle. And a little bit hard to control. I said to my daddy, here, you ride this mare and I'll ride the stallion because that's what I wanted to ride anyways. And he looked at me and he said, no, I want to ride him. I says, Dad, I don't want you getting hurt. And I can remember these words. Son, if I was 10 years younger, you wouldn't be telling me this. And we went riding. The only time I ever remember. Memories, they're precious, amen. What will you be remembered by? If God should take you this week in death, you say, I'm young. You don't know what you have. Yesterday he was 26. One of my first funerals was 18. We don't know. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And I might say it this way, what will be the judgment of those who are looking at us? We are a testimony some way or other. What is it? What is it? If you know Christ as your Savior, everybody ought to know it. If you're living for Him, it will be showing. It'll be obvious. They will say He was a man or a woman of God. What's your testimony? By it, He being dead yet speaketh. By what is faith? He was operating by faith. What will people see? Have you put your faith and trust in Christ? And secondly, are you living by faith? Not by sight, but by faith.